Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended to heaven
and sits on the right hand of the Father Almighty,
from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Awesome. So we are in, if you kind of just catch any up with us where we're at, we're in a series right now that we're calling the Apostles' Creed. And we're going to spend 6 weeks on the Apostles' Creed. We really could spend a lot more time, quite honestly. But we're just going to kind of cover it in a quick little way here that hopefully helps some of us understand what the heck is the Apostles' Creed? And why is it such a big deal? Why do we say this sometimes in our church services and those kinds of things? And today we're especially going to be focusing on, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So that's where we're going to spend some time this morning. The text that I'd like us to think a little bit about as we're kind of getting into it. Now I'm going to go a little heavy here at first, and then I'm going to say a prayer and then we'll lighten it up. But Genesis chapter 1, here's what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And so already at the beginning, we begin to get a picture of who our God is. Father, Son, Spirit. And we already see the triune God. Bring that back up, Lyle, if you don't mind. Sorry. We already see the triune God at work in the first pages of Genesis. We have God who's present, right? But then what else do we have? We have the Spirit who's hovering over the waters, the Spirit of God. And then we have God actually speak. Let there be. And already we begin to see the second person of the Trinity at work, don't we? Because in John chapter 1, which I don't have on the screen, John starts his gospel by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so already we begin to get this picture of who God is, and it's a little more complicated than what's simply kind of like, as if John were God. Well, we'd all be freaked out, but if John were God, right, it'd be a little easier to kind of get our minds around that. But here we have Father, Son, Spirit, three distinct persons, but one God. And that is only, even at the end of this series, I'm not going to give you any more than what can be fully understood. And in the end, you're going to have to walk away believing by faith that God is Father, Son, Spirit. And so we're going to unpack that, and there's lots of cool stuff to talk about. But this is why the Apostles' Creed is kind of set up like that. I believe in God the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit, and we see kind of three distinct articles as it's kind of set up. Who is our God? Who is He? Our Creator, and we're going to get into that today. Yes, Dylan? And as we begin to unpack that, who is our God? What does that mean for me? And what does that look like for me? And how does that shape the way I live my life? How does it shape the way that I think about life or this world or maybe my family or my job? See, it gets super practical super fast, okay? And that's where we're going to spend some time this morning. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Let's say a prayer, and then we're going to dive in. Father, I pray right now that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds. I pray that you would lead, that your spirit would come and be with us right now, that you would anoint not only this place, but this time with your presence, and that you would do a work in us that only you can do. It's not even a work we can make happen ourselves. You have to do this work, oh God. And we trust that where your word goes forth, it will not return void. And so we beg of you that we would hear from you right now. Speak to us, oh God. I pray for myself, God, that you just help me to be able to articulate this as tightly as possible. But ultimately, I surrender it all to you and ask that your spirit would just move and guide. And where I'd want to go right, and if you say go left, then help me to go left. Use my preparation and time that we've spent this past week to bless your people right now. We pray this boldly in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was thinking about maker of heaven and earth, I started thinking about, isn't it true that when you make something, you have a relationship with that thing that goes deeper than if you didn't make that thing? This kind of stood out to me as I was talking to Jacqueline, my wife, a little bit. We were talking about, on Friday, my family went to a hotel. Right here, kind of in the area. We didn't go very far. We just wanted to get away from the house. We just wanted to get away a little bit. And just, so we picked out a hotel, hot-wired it, right? Got the best deal we could get. And with free breakfast, you know. And the indoor pool. Those were the two kinds of things that we really needed. And so I indoor pooled it and free breakfast it. And we got a really good deal on a hotel in the area, and so we were there, and it was awesome. Friday night was just a blast, because I take Fridays off, and so we just kind of, already at like 3 o'clock, we took off for the hotel. We got there. We got in the pool. It was just awesome. It was so much fun just swimming and hanging out as a family. Got to meet some other people there. They had some kids our age. It was just so much fun. And then we went and ordered some Little Caesars, and we got some pizza and some wings and stuff, and we brought that right into the pool area, and it was just awesome. It was so much fun. It was such a blessed time to just be able to do that. And then we tried to go to bed. Then we tried to go to sleep. And listen, like, everybody did great, except for my one-year-old. Except for my one-year-old. Ember was a bit tough. Yeah. I'm using you because in a couple years I can't do this with you, but I can still do it here, Pumpkin. So Ember tried to go to sleep, and she was trying to sleep, but she just would not sleep. And the first hour, not a big deal. I'm patient. We're patient, parents. It's all good. Second hour, it's still all good, but like, okay, it's time to go to bed now, Pumpkin. Like, the Cardinals are done playing. I'm ready to kind of like, okay, let's go to bed now. 3 hours, 4 hours later, it's like, who are you? Right? Who are you, you little beast? And at 6 hour mark, you're like, what are we doing here? Let's go home. Like, our house is not that far away. Let's just go home. It was just ridiculous. She was just a pain in the butt all night long, quite honestly. She just would not sleep. She had a new area, all this kind of stuff, right? But as I'm holding my daughter, which I must admit, I got to make sure I'm giving credit to Jackie. I did sleep for a while within that. Jacqueline, maybe not quite so much. But as I'm holding my daughter at like 2 a.m, okay, as I'm holding my daughter, and I'm not thinking this in the moment. This is a little bit of thinking after the fact. But in that moment, I'm like, I would not do this for any other kid. I would not do that for any person out here's kids. At 2 a.m, if I'm still holding your kid because I'm babysitting or something, you're getting a phone call. And you're coming back to get your kid. Right? That's just happening. I'm not going to be holding your kid at 2 a.m. as they're screaming and crying and saying, no, 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 no. It's just not happening, right? But for my kid, I'll maybe do that. I will do that. I don't want to do that necessarily in the most ultimate way, right? That's where the analogy breaks down a little bit. But like, I'm going to do it because it's my kid. I helped make that kid. Now, don't get me wrong, my part wasn't very difficult. But I helped make this kid. This kid came out of me. Not really, but you know, like, this kid, like, I helped make this kid. I'm being careful.
Careful with those steps.
But I mean, seriously, like, this is my kid and this is part of me. Have you ever made something? Maybe it's even something a little less crazy like a kid. Maybe it's something like you knit a pillow or something, or you made a blanket happen, or maybe you use your hands to build a something in your wood shop, or you made a little bench, or you made a little something for the wall or something, right? When you're part of making something, there's a connection there that's deeper than if you just went out to Walmart and picked it up. It's just the way it is. There's a relationship connection there. And that's one of the things that as we talk about this, as we're looking at maker of heaven and earth, I believe in God who's the maker. What does that mean? Have you ever stopped and just thought about what it means and looks like to be someone who believes that God has made us? That there is a creator-created relationship thing going on? And as maybe an extra special part of creation, you might even say that we're a creature before this God, created by Him, that we share certain qualities with other aspects of creation because we are created, that I have a connection with a rock. Why? That rock was created. I am created. And God stands apart from it all as one who was not created. The language here gets so precise, even in the Nicene Creed later on, that Jesus was not created. He's begotten of the Father. There's a distinction in terminology there that's incredibly important. The second person of the Trinity was not created. See? And so God stands apart. And so many of us, I think, have lost the distinction that really needs to be there, where there is God and then there's everything else. And you fit in the category of everything else. Now, that sounds a little bit harsh, right? Me and a rock hanging out. I see on the eyes some of you kind of freaking out a little bit, but I just want to start there. I want to start with this idea that I have been created. And what is that relationship then between creator and created? What does that look like? See, the first thing I would say is something like this. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't take yourself too seriously. I know I get caught up in that. You're a creature. You've been created. Be careful to take yourself too seriously. Okay. So what is this difference between? I love what Isaiah, what is this difference, created creature thing, and what can sometimes come out of that? Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. We do this so often, don't we? He says this, "Woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, 'Hey, what are you making?' Or, 'Your work has no handles.'" Now, some of us got handles, you know, but yeah, or a handle, truck driver. I like that. That was probably a little nicer, Dylan. What does the little bench that I made at my house, what does that? That can't look at me and say, hey, you could have gave me a little more flair. You could have made me a little nicer. You should have used a different stain. You could have sanded me a little bit more. It doesn't do that. I'm the creator. It's the created. So what does it look like to have a posture before God as ones who've been created by Him according to His will, according to His working? How many of you, I've used this analogy before, but how many of you made yourself happen? None of you did. And now, as soon as you come on the scene, you think you're tough stuff. You think you're all this, and you're so smart and so wise and so blah, 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 blah. You're just a creature. You're a created being. And let's make sure we have a posture before God of recognizing that. He's God. Nobody made Him. And that's different for you. Now, don't get me wrong. This right off the bat, this part kind of makes us feel small. It might make us feel insignificant. It might feel like there's less meaning. And that's not where we're going. But let some of that sit in your heart and mind a little bit. When you look up at the stars, there's a sense in which you should feel pretty small. You see? The maker of heaven and earth. But at the exact same time, it's fascinating to me because even though it kind of starts that way, even as you unpack the word maker, there also comes an element where there's what? There's something special. There's actually something about design that's part of the kind of terminology and defining what this means and looks like, isn't it? There's something about this that's actually more than just random, even though this is really and even in the room, there's going to be a representation of those who'd hold to a particular worldview that starts potentially with randomness and I'm not gonna name it because you might name it something different, but it's gonna have less design to it. It's gonna have randomness. It's gonna have a violent kind of beginning. A violent beginning where there's the strong eat the weak. Okay. Where the strong are the ones who continue to pass on DNA and pass on DNA until we can kind of be who we are and we can continue to maybe do this even today. Listen, that worldview, just think about it a little bit. How much significance is in that? How much worth is passed on to you in that particular worldview? How much design is there? Purpose. Where is that going? You see, as we look at a God who's created us, who's made us, we see design. We see purpose. We begin to see significance. We begin to form identity. It's an incredible thing. I mean, I think of the projects in my life, even in my own home. There are not many projects. And I think this, as I've talked to my wife, I think this maybe is even a man-woman thing. I don't know. But as I think about the projects, rarely do I engage with a project that I haven't doodled, right? I haven't drawn it up, wrote out dimensions, spent time on Amazon, figuring out how much it's going to cost. Like, I process through my projects like crazy. Did anybody else do that? Yeah, okay, me and Dylan, perfect. So we are the only ones that do this, but we process through, we're not the only ones, we process through like stuff and we think about it and we're trying to formulate it before we ever do it. And I love how God, as maker of the heavens and the earth, there's design, it's specific. What does it do? It gives us a posture before our Creator where we actually begin to say thank you, don't we? For the gifts that you've given. All the gifts that you've given. And all of a sudden, standing before the mountains in Colorado, things change. All of a sudden, standing before a river in Idaho, And you see the swirl of the pool and you know there's right there, right in there, there's going to be trout. The valleys in South Dakota. I'm just going through some place I've been. I'm just thinking. All of a sudden, I look at my family and I see something different there, a gift. And I begin to say, thank you. All of a sudden, I sit down with a Miller Lite. Just take a sip of a beer. And I, thank you. Thank you, God. All of a sudden, driving in my car, things begin to shift. It takes on different meaning as I think about God creating. As I have a conversation with another human being, as I'm out in the woods hunting, all of a sudden my posture before God moves me to a place where I'm thanking Him for all that is good in my life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Do we do that? Do we spend time thanking Him for all that's good in our lives? Do we keep Him as God and me as creature, me as created? Changes everything that we interact with on a daily basis, our entire lives. Every aspect of our life gets changed when we recognize that we are created by God. And all that is good has been created by Him. And it even holds together. I'm not going to go to it right now, but Colossians, you know, in Christ, all things hold together. In Christ. Wow. And that's not it. There's this last little part. It's actually the first part of this creed that I want to look at. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Let's just unpack that for a second. It's actually kind of a parallel, in my opinion, as I look at God as creator. I also love this idea of that in the Apostles' Creed, we see that He is Father Almighty. Now, what does that mean? To be the Father Almighty. You know, my kids, when they look at me, my kids look at me and I think they think of me as a strong guy who can do things that they can't do, right? Whether it be taking them down, wrestling them, or whether it be changing the oil in my car, or whether it be, last night we were tiling some of our floor a little bit. Maybe my boy wanted to stay up a little later. He's like, I want to see you do that, Dad. I want to see you grout the floor a little bit. Okay, let's do that. See? They see in me those kinds of things where I'm kind of like up there a little bit, but then at the exact same time, what do I do sometimes? Sometimes I come and I get down and I play Legos. Right? And I got the little guy and the other little guy. Right? And I just get down and I'm just playing. Or sometimes I get to open a dollhouse, get down and, you know, I like to take little Barbie and have her go poo-poo on the potty, but that's just me. That's just me. Yeah, but I get down, right? Who is this God? Father Almighty. Those are two incredible words. Where there's power, but there's also personal. God is powerful, but He's also personable. Isn't that incredible? He's almighty. He's literally created the universe. He delicately places the stars in the sky, the psalmist talks about. He just puts them up there with his fingers. That's from Psalm chapter 8. He puts it, but don't put it up there yet. He puts his fingers and he just delicately places the the stars, which are bigger than the sun. He's almighty. He can do anything. He's all powerful. He's the Mac Daddy Caddy. King, but he's also, he says, when you call me something, I want you to call me Dad. Now, where do we see this? We see this in Matthew chapter 6. I want you to look at this quick. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, on teaching his disciples ask him, hey, how do we pray, Jesus? How do you think we should pray? And Jesus says, here's how I want you to pray. When you pray, say this, our Father, who art in heaven, who is in heaven, holy, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. This is a ruler with authority, power, almighty. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is even in heaven. And this is the kind of power you have. You can make decisions that the decisions that are made even affect heaven. Let those kinds of things happen even on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Then it begins to move even a little more personable as God begins to see you in your specific needs. As you reach for the loaf of bread at Kroger, see, we've been trained by our culture to think that doesn't come from God. It comes from Kroger. It costs $2.99. I don't have a clue. Or is it from God? Or is it from God? As the farmers do their thing, and as the processors do their thing, and as bread is baked, and as God works through the vocation of even the person at Kroger, as they place the bread in the certain locations, and we get to go and buy it and take, can we not say thank you to God in that? For daily bread? The Almighty, but also this personable God. That's huge. It's interesting. This came out of a conversation this past week. I'm going to kind of wrap this up. This came out of a conversation about the fact that Jesus would allow us to call God Father here is truly incredible. Because if you look at who Jesus is talking to, he's talking to people that have potentially kind of, it's hard to know exactly who he's talking to here. It says the disciples, but it's not necessarily clear that this is the 12 disciples, and it's probably not. Because of the context, which is Jesus sees the crowd, goes up on a mountain, and his disciples follow him up. So I would say it's something like this. It's those who want to hear more from Jesus are the listeners here. That's every single person in this room right now. Every person in this room right now, you might not even be a follower of Jesus. You might have a ton of questions about God and faith and all these kinds of things. And listen, follow me here really carefully. Even you, every person in this room who'd be wanting to hear just a little bit more, Jesus says to you, this is incredible. He says, when you pray, say, our Father. He doesn't make these people jump through hoops to become this ultimate Christian where they finally get to call him Father. His invitation is to the created. Wow, follow me there. Holy smokes, this message is coming together, folks. His invitation to call him Father is to the creatures. Who'd be willing to hear it and receive it. Every single person in this room right now is invited to pray, our Father, to look to him as Father. I don't know about you, but I know for so many of you, when it's 10 o'clock at night and you're laying in bed and you start thinking about God, God oftentimes gets huge. And way out there, floating around. And he is that big. But I also want you to hear today that he's so personable. That he knows every single one of your situations. He knows about the broken relationship and he cares about it. Because it's an infection in his creation. He knows about the financial problems and he cares about it. Because it's a fracture in his creation that he's made and cares about. He knows about the pain that you're going through because of the abuse and he cares about it because it's a brokenness in that which he has made. He cares about the hardships of trying to find another job. He cares about the divorce. He cares about the flooding that happened 2 weeks ago with Imelda. He cares about every single one of your specific situations. And he wants to not only be Father, but because of the brokenness in creation, he wants to be Redeemer and Restorer. And that's where this whole Apostles' Creed is going to be headed into the next weeks to come. He doesn't want to just be Creator and Father and even intimate, but he wants to be so intimate that he would send Jesus, his only begotten Son, into this world to begin to redeem creation. To bring redemption into your family, to bring redemption into your relationship, as broken as it might be before God, as many questions as you might have, as much junk that you've done in your past, he wants to bring redemption. And he goes to the cross, he takes all of that, puts it on himself, and begins to give you righteousness that we can experience even today. Listen to what the psalmist says. The psalmist says in Psalm chapter 8, he said, "What is man that you're so mindful of him?" Look at that. What is man that you think about him? He really was wondering, what is man that you're thinking about? "But you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings." He's giving us, that's not actually a lowering, that's actually a raising you up. He's made you so stinking special, and he cares about you way more than I care about the bench that I made at home. But if you were to come into my home and you were to take a little, your little kid was to start making a mark on my bench that I made, that's going to tick me off. That's going to tick me off. And there's a sense in which God is looking at us, he sees our brokenness, and he's going to fix it, and he's going to make it right. And he begins to do that already at the cross, and he does that in completion at his return. And he is coming back, and he will make all things right. And we're going to talk more about that in the next coming weeks. Our God loves you like crazy. You're a creature created by him, but you're also dearly loved by him. And he allows you to call him Father. You don't have to jump through special hoops to make that happen. Just call out to him, "Dad, I need help. Dad, help me." And if you want help with that this morning, you need somebody to pray with you a little bit, please come and find me. Find somebody else that you trust who's a believer in Jesus. And help, ask them to help you walk through, what does that look like? How do I call out to him? And I think the answer is, "Dad, help me. Thank you for loving me." Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for every single person in this room. Everybody in here who is an incredibly special creature. Creatures that have been created by you, designed by you, molded by you. And Lord, as sin is in our lives, as we acknowledged at the beginning of the service today, there is a brokenness that's there because of sin. I thank you that you see it, that you know about it, and that you don't just leave it, but you do something about it. When you come, because what, Lord, thank you for that verse, "For God so loved the whole stinking world." And that's how you love us. You love your creation. God, for that, I just give you thanks and praise. Thank you for loving me like that. Thank you, God, for all of the blessings and gifts that you pour into my life. If no one else is thanking you this morning, hear from me at least, oh God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for my family. I thank you for the place that shelters me. I thank you for food that's on my table. I thank you, God, for the cars that I have, my motorcycle. I thank you, God, for the blessings of blessings and blessings. I thank you for the cool air this morning, the breath that I get to take even now as I speak, the friendships in so many states that we have. Thank you, Lord, for this church that we get to be part of. Are you kidding me? What? Thank you for this place, Joe and Juanita, renting it out to us, allowing us to gather like this. Thank you. Thank you for the partnerships in the gospel. Thank you for good beer. Thank you, God, for good food. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for, I mean, we could just go on and on and on. I get it, Lord, but just everything that's coming into my mind right now, I just thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for going to the cross for us, for suffering hell for us, making us righteous, restoring us, Lord. We thank you and praise you, and we look forward to that day when that will be complete in your return. Make us hungry for that day. Give us delight as we think about and anticipate that day. God, we are your creatures, and we thank you for that. Thank you for that incredible blessing. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being all-powerful, but also our Father. Our Father. Our Father who is in heaven. Thank you. Bless this church, Lord. Bless these people. Meet them right where they are, wherever they might be today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Hey, let me leave you with the blessing. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may he bless you and keep each of you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Have a great week.